Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody, and much mahalo to everybody on the air tonight, and thank you for allowing us to come into your home on a Tuesday night like you've done for the past 6 years with our golly bum, our award-winning radio live talk radio show. We have a very, very special show tonight, as I always say, but tonight is going to be a barn burner. I've got a banker, I've got an old friend, well, I've got a couple old friends, but before I start, I'm going to bring on my producer, who's put up with me for 6 years, the one and only Haunty Jesse Bowen. Haunty Bowen?
Hey, sir, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, sir?
Hey, better and better, sir. Better and better.
Well, tell us what's going on with the Alliance and what you're doing with the book, and talk about your podcast a little bit. Go ahead, Haunty Jesse Bowen, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, you know, we have now enrollment for membership into our organization, which is a nonprofit organization. We're releasing the second edition of the Chuck Norris Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers biography book, and so that's going really well. And so if you have someone that you know that would like to be inducted or nominated for induction in our biography book, now we're trying to tell a story. You know, we're trying this to preserve, and we're bringing together the biographies and history and creating what is called the Emerging Leaders. So in December the 5th, when the book release, we're going to be having our online conference, and that's the title of it, is Emerging Leaders. And this is the place that we feel that we can impact the martial arts the most, is really getting people to think about leadership, how to what they need to do after this is over, the pandemic, and how they're going to run their businesses, how they're going to, how they're going to run their own personal lives. And the podcast is doing great. It's called The Power to Live Your Vision. And we're sharing with everyone, our secrets on goal setting and the empowerment of having a vision. And this is sort of different in the martial arts. So we're not just talking about how to kick and punch, but we're really talking about how to make personal change, because martial arts is about personal change. So you have to go beyond the physical part. So that's sort of what we've been doing, sir, the podcast. You can go to our page and see it. You can go to our anchor. We're now on 5 different podcasts coming up on iTunes very soon. So, hey, sir, everything's been going good. And I'd like to thank everyone and thank you, sir, for asking people to follow us on our blog, on our blog radio, because I just checked a few moments ago. We have quite a few people that are now following us on that. So please go to our Blog Talk Radio page and follow us, and you'll get notifications when the show is coming on.
Well, thank you so much for that information, and we keep following what all you do, and it's incredible what you've done with the book and touched everybody's lives around America. And of course, we honor Mr. Norris and Mr. Yukitis with their incredible career, and we thank you for rejuvenating that and bringing that to America's awareness. Thank you, Auntie Jess Bowen, for all you do.
Thank you, sir.
Well, tonight I've got a really incredible show. I've got a couple of very special guests, and I'm going to introduce the first gentleman, and he's my student, and he's actually a 6'3 black belt, and he's a banker, and I'm not going to hold that against him tonight. But before I bring him on, I'm going to bring on my co-host, the one, the only Wolverine. Dean, where you at?
I'm right here, sir, as always.
Hey, I've got the banker on tonight and Mr. Adam James, which I'm going to introduce here in a minute. So stay loose and get ready for all those questions that I know you got.
Hey,
for
man.
These guys, okay?
I got it.
Okay. Well, first of all, like I said, his name is Mr. Jim Butcher, and he's a banker, and we're going to be talking to him about how to rejuvenate our business or make our business stronger. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and thank you guys so much for having me this evening, sir.
Well, thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to spend time with me on a Tuesday night on the, you know, the radio show. The AMAA radio show is just really America's viewpoint, because we share news and information, and you're very important tonight, you know, what I talked about. But I got to introduce my second very special guest, Mr. Adam James. Let me talk about it a little bit. We met each other back years ago at a company called World Black Belt, and he actually ran the day-to-day operations, and I was a correspondent, and we worked together, but we became very close. And he supported the Living Legends in New Jersey. I remember that, and I got to honor him, and, you know, I got to honor him last year in Las Vegas. But he is, I'm going to say this, and I hope he's listening to me. He's helped me with my attitude toward journalism and how I handle people on the phone, and I owe him a lot. So I want to say publicly that Adam James is not only my friend, but someone as I look up to. So, Adam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, I bragged about you a bit. I hope you heard about it.
Yeah.
Well, to have so you and Jim very, on the line is very special. So, you know, I'm going to ask a couple questions, and both of you guys can kind of answer them together, okay?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, the first question, of course, is, and I'm sure Wolverine might ask another question too, but one of my first questions is, this pandemic that America's going through, when it is over, how is the martial arts going to revive itself? Jim, you go first.
Yeah, sure. So how is the martial arts going to revive itself? My big push, let me digress just a hair, is how do you survive this, first of all, and then how are you going to revive yourself? So what I'd like to see a lot of the martial arts owners and stuff like that, if they haven't done like the PPP, which is over at this point, but the EIDL loans, they really need to reach out to a banker or a CPA and stuff like that to see what they could do to, you know, bridge that gap till the end of this pandemic. And then once they do that.
Dang, Professor, he answered my question before I got to ask it.
Wolverine, that's why I got so much smarter than you on tonight. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, it don't take much to get smarter than me. I mean, that ain't good.
Well,
I'm just
picking on you, Wolverine. Go ahead, Jim. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, no problem. No problem. Because that's that important, you know. And we learn from our fights, right? So this time around. Next time around, we want to make sure we're well-prepared and we have some type of contingency plan, maybe a line of credit or something like that. So that means we're going to have to work on our financials and get that in tow, you know, to make sure that this, when it happens again in the future, that we're ready.
Adam, how you feel about it? How you feel about it? Because you're right there in the, you know, in the martial art community. You do a lot of things. Now, let's talk about what you do. Now, you train with Leo Fong, I know, but you're involved with a lot of things. Go ahead and tell my listeners what you're involved with.
Well, gosh, let me just go back to that original question, because I think that's really critical, much more so than me in my background.
I didn't feel I properly
I will say that it's really important for people to have a positive, optimistic outlook, even during distressing moments, because there's potential there. There's opportunities there. You know, it's interesting, in the fitness industry, almost all health clubs on the West Coast and in other areas are shut down right now. California is an area where they have all the health clubs basically closed right now. And a lot of people that I know who work in the fitness industry are distressed about it. However, at the same time, there are other areas of the fitness industry that are exploding right now, specifically those who sell items that people have at home now. So home gym equipment is doing better than ever. There's a company called Peloton. They sell spin bikes, and they use a technology where you're basically watching a class happening in front of you while you're on your bike. And that company is doing extremely well because they were positioned for this transition that's happening between technology combined with a worldwide pandemic that is changing how people behave, how they live their lives. And likewise, in the martial arts world, there's opportunities there. There's ways for people to connect with those who are at home. and build their business. Now, at the same time, of course, the majority of people who are out there who are martial artists are practitioners, not school owners. So from that perspective, I think it's actually another unique opportunity. People who regularly train with others now are being forced to train alone. That solo training, whether they're working on kata, whether they're working on a bag, whether they're working on free shadow boxing type fighting, this is going to help them develop their martial arts skills even further. So there's actually a lot of good that can come out of a bad time like this, but it really comes back to that attitude. You really have to, whether you're religious and you believe in God and God's going to get us through this, or whether you are more of a pragmatist who just says, you know what, I'm going to figure out a way, I'm going to have a plan, I'm going to talk to my banker, I'm going to make my way through this. Either way, this is critical right now. People have to have faith, have a plan, and keep working.
Yeah. What do you think, Wolverine? Those are pretty good answers, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. You got two smart dudes on here tonight. Yeah. Good stuff.
I do.
Good stuff.
Well, listen, I got a question. Again, then maybe Wolverine can get one. I got one more question, guys. I'm talking to both of you. Okay. I've been paying $5,000 a month, say, rent for a facility that I don't own by rent, and I got overhead that I got to pay every month. I had, even though I've been closed, I still got to pay the rent. I still got to pay the overhead, even though it's not expensive. Now, how do I recover other than just maybe go out and get a second job or, you know, do more demonstrations or whatever? And now you answered it somewhat, but I'm not saying me. But I'm saying the average dojo owner pays rent monthly. Go ahead, Adam, then Jim. But before, listen, Wolverine, I got to say this. Before I introduce you to Jim back, I want you first, Adam, to tell people who you are, because, you know, I want people to know that I got authenticity on the line. Get ready, Jim, you're next. Tell people who you are.
No
ahead,
problem.
Tell them what you do and who you are.
Is that me again?
Go ahead, Adam. Tell them who you are and what you do so people know authentic.
Sure. My name is Adam James. I was born in the New York City area, but I moved to Hawaii when I was a boy. I grew up there. My father was a U.S. Naval officer. And growing up in Hawaii, I was exposed to a variety of martial arts. I was very blessed and honored to work with a lot of really great martial artists. I also excelled in sports, so I played football at Northwestern University in the Big Ten Conference. Very honored to play for a really terrific coach. His name is Dennis Green. He was the very first African-American head coach in the Big Ten Conference. He was the second African-American head coach in the NFL, and he had a huge impact on my life. He's a great guy. Growing up in Hawaii, I primarily trained with a gentleman named Mike De La Vega. Sensei Mike De La Vega was a relative of Chojin Miyagi, and he was one of the original students of the Kaju Kempo schools. He trained with Imperato and was a black belt under Imperato, Joe Imperato. And then he enlisted in the United States military, and he became an officer, a long-range reconnaissance officer, while he was in Vietnam. And when he came back to Hawaii, he started the school called Hoi Shinkan Okinawan Kempo Karate Dojos. I rose in the ranks through that, became the chief instructor for the organization. I came to the mainland to open schools for Hoi Shinkan. And that's when I met Leo Fong, and Leo Fong became my dear friend, my mentor. And trained with him extensively, became the chief instructor for Wei Kun Do, Chi Feng Modern Eskrima with him. And then, as Gary was mentioning earlier, I worked with Bob Wall with World Black Belt. And, of course, that was co-founded by Chuck Norris, Gene LaBelle, and 50 of the world's,
Jim Anderson.
And having an opportunity
Jim
to work
Anderson.
With them was...
Yeah, throw Jim in there.
Yep, absolutely. So... Coming back to the question, though,
that's
I really
authentic.
Wanted to address that, because, again...
Wolverine, that's authentic, man. Let me tell you something. Adam James is the real deal. Okay, now, let me interrupt that question and throw Jim in there. Jim Butcher, who are you? And tell people who you are.
Hello. I'll say it is.
All right. Well, my name is Jim Butcher, and I am a sixth-degree black belt under J. Pat Burleson and Professor Gary Lee. I originally got my black belt under... Master Zolfi Ahmed, and been doing it for about 18 years now, so I'm really excited about that. I've been in banking.
But the
and,
American Ninja. You're going to be an American Ninja, right?
That is correct. I am working on competing in American Ninja Warrior right now and started that training. I never realized that a 200-pound man.
Wolverine, you got to become an American Ninja Warrior. Wolverine, you got to become an American Ninja Warrior.
Everybody's asked me to do that, and actually, we're getting ready here at the gym to build a American Ninja Warrior course just so I can start practicing.
Well, good.
I'll tell you
good.
What, it's one of the best exercises
go back to my
I've
question.
Had in about 15 years. So.
Yeah. Well, you're in my words, what I would say on my show, because it's called Parts Unknown, you're a badass, and so is Adam. So that's what you guys are. Now, going back to my question, I got a $10,000 overhead, and I've been paying it for the past 5-6 months, whatever. We've been shut down. How do I recover? Adam, you go first. How do I recover?
Well, a couple things. Number one is it's obviously a really tough spot for any business that's in that position where they're being told by the government that they cannot be open, and at the same time their landlord is saying you owe rent. So one of the first things I'd recommend a person do is talk to your landlord. See if you can work out something with them. Obviously, some landlords will just say, no, you owe this. We signed a lease. You owe it. One thing that people, of course, are being told is with the government, you won't be evicted and you can postpone on those payments. I would really discourage somebody from doing that unless they have no other option. You're going to want to pay that rent, stay on top of that. So really then you're having this huge expense and you're not having any income because your business is closed. So again, that comes back to that opportunity moment where you've got to look for ways that you can be creative and find a way to operate your business, even though you're told under the normal circumstances you can't. But there are ways that you can get some revenue going, whether it's taking, for example, with a martial arts school, taking your business outdoors, training in the park, training outdoors, online, more private lessons, less group lessons. Obviously, it's
okay,
a really difficult
banker,
situation.
Okay, banker, your turn. I've got a $10,000 overhead, and I've had to pay it for the past 5 months. How do I recover, banker?
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam had he pretty much said what needs to be done at the moment. You really need to speak with your landlord, and a lot of landlords, because they have put a moratorium on evictions, that they are out there to negotiate. There are some that are hardliners, but in general, they are giving reduced rents. Like, say, for example, in restaurants, occupancy is down by 50%, so they're reducing the rent by 50%. So really right now, the best thing you could be doing is just communicating with your credit card, your car payments, anything that's a bill, see what they have available, because there are a lot of programs available right now.
Good answer. Okay. That really helps a lot, because there's a lot of our friends out there in the industry that lost their schools and they don't know what to do. And they've had to pay monthly payments or whatever. And some people own the property. Some people, of course, are renting. So those are good answer, guys. So I've got another universal question for both you guys, because you guys are martial artists. Now, in America, through the past 60 years, book karate has played a very important part on what America thinks with karate, kung fu, taekwondo, even jiu-jitsu is. How is martial arts changed America, as far as you're concerned and your thoughts? Adam, first.
Well, let's have Jim go first this time. I've gone first each time.
Okay, Jim, you go first. See, Adam, let me tell you, Jim, the reason why I've got good manners is I listen to Adam James, okay? So go ahead, Jim, you go first. Wait a minute, before you go, Wolverine, you got a question to ask Adam James as a banker?
No, I'm good right now. We'll just keep rolling.
Good. I wanted to just hear you speak anyway. I love that Southern accent. Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
You know
what can America do to change, or what is the major change have you seen in America, you know, in the martial arts?
For me, I've seen the, and I'll just say it, that MMA and the way that's developed out is, for me, the way it occurred was that they didn't have a lot of respect. However, I see that coming back, that they're going back to some of the older training methods and stuff like that and learning about the way the actual art. And I think that's amazing that it's coming back that way.
I agree 100%. And before I bring on Adam, 2 cents in. The UFC and MMA is the hardest and coolest thing I think around. I believe I enjoy thoroughly two people getting in the ring and beating the crap out of each other. I enjoy it. But
I mean, I love it. That's what I do.
I know
that's
what I do. But listen to me, Wolverine. But when they start saying they're the pioneers of karate in America,
no,
that's,
they're not.
I know, Adam.
Oh,
Adam,
no.
Adam, you've been around some of the best martial artists in the country. Now, you know what I'm saying when I say that. There's people out there that, well, they're quiet, they're secretive, they don't tell people nothing.
Absolutely.
They're very dangerous, aren't they? Very dangerous.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they're the pioneers.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, first of all, I will say about martial arts in America.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm excited.
Oh, no, you're good.
Well, go ahead, Adam. How dangerous
are
these people in America?
Yeah, I was just going to say martial arts in America is one of the greatest things in the world. I mean, martial arts, when it came to America, became something new and different and has continued to evolve and grow. And it's made America better. We're better because of martial arts, and martial arts is better because of America. We've influenced martial arts in a very unique and special way. And when you look at how martial arts evolved and grew worldwide, the hot spot was America. This is where the changes occurred. This is where the revolutionaries, you know, worked together and came up with new techniques.
Wow.
I also
I hope you got your seatbelt on, because in a few minutes, I'm bringing on Dr. Reginald Lee. Dr. Lee, you still there, right?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, I'm going to bring you on in just a minute, but before I bring you on, I'm going to build you up a little bit. Now, Adam and Jim, the idea of history is very important. And Jim, you've been around me a long time, and Adam, you know me for 20 years. The history of American martial arts is so important. It's not just about the Sport Karate Museum and what we built for 23 years. It's important that we go out and we share with people. Now, Adam, you experienced something in, I think it was in the early 90s or early 2000s, the Michael DePasquale roast in New Jersey, Atlantic City. And you came, and it was a crew of people, man. Gary Alexander, Jeff Smith, John Chung, Keith Vitale, Alan Goldberg, you, Don Wilson. I mean, it was incredible. How did you feel about being a part of that?
Oh, it was a tremendous opportunity, tremendous honor. I was very grateful to you. And it was great for Michael, because honestly, Michael DePasquale is one of the great martial artists of America. Now, this is a guy who is one of the great pioneers of American martial arts. His father was truly one of the godfathers of martial arts in America.
He's the FBI and the CIA.
And Michael deserves tremendous recognition. And so I was blessed to be there that night, to seeing him receiving those accolades, because he truly deserves it.
Well,
I want to throw in real quick, Professor, while he's that time. And Michael DePasquale also plays my father in the upcoming feature film, The Coward, and part two, Fighting for Family. So he's in two more movies coming up too, by the way.
Yeah. How's his injury? He's recovered. I saw him go to Hollywood a couple weeks ago, got an award or something under Mr. Goldman. I mean, I hope he's doing better. I knew he had some surgery things. Jim, you've been to the Legends in Houston for a long time. How do you feel about being a part of the Living Legends and the Sport Karate Museum?
Oh, shoot, the best part is that they asked me to spar again, so that's always a good thing. No, I absolutely love it.
You went to Las Vegas.
It's amazing to be around them.
My son beat the shit out of that guy. I mean, it was fun.
That was funny.
Excuse my language. I apologize for saying that. It slipped. You beat the crap out of that guy.
It was fun.
Yeah.
No, but it's always fun. Like
with
Bill Wallace, tells us a story, and Jeff Smith, they're just sitting there talking, telling us a story about how fighting used to be and stuff like that. And where is that going to happen other than there? You know. So.
That's right. You've been to Legends. You've been around Jim Harrison, Jeff Smith, Mr. Wallace, a lot of cool people. I mean, we went to Oklahoma together, and we shared snow. I remember that. It snowed that morning, and we got up, and we went to an event that had Jeff and Bill and everybody there. That was pretty cool. Well, guys, you guys are part of the Sport Karate Museum, and you're part of the history we put together for the past 23 years. Adam, how do you feel about being a History Journal and being a representation of Leo. And so, you know, by the way, is Leo what, 93 now?
He's tremendous.
Yeah,
he is one of the great, again, like Michael, one of the great martial artists of the world.
Well,
and
you know
Gary, I got to give
story.
It up to you. I want to take a moment and just say, I remember when I met you at World Black Belt when Bob Wall introduced me to you. And I believe in your vision from day one. When you shared with me your vision, how you saw this amazing group of martial artists from history who needed to be more recognized because they had such a positive impact in our world and our lives. And so your vision to create this museum to honor them was something I immediately felt a connection to. And I'm very honored to be a part of that, to help you, because
well, I'm going to tell you,
I'm
not gay, but I fell in love with you, Adam. You're such a great personality, and I learned a lot from you, how to be a matter on the phone, how to talk to people. I picked up a lot from you, Adam. I appreciate you so much. I really
do. Thank you. And, you know, one thing I'll say on that real quick is that that's martial arts. Martial arts is connecting with people, and it's being able to exchange with people. And so when we connect with others as a professional, when we're running our school, when we're running our bank, whatever it is that we're doing, as a martial artist, you want to tell yourself, this is martial arts. This is mental judo. This is mental karate. This is how you're going to interact with another and create the outcome that you're striving for.
Well, let me tell you my best Leo Fong story, okay? It's 1982, and I'm rated in Karate Illustrated magazine, and Leo and Ron Martini, the great fighter, they put on the top 10 Texas, or not Texas, but the top 10 tournament in Stockton, California. And so I wanted to get my ratings up. So I go there, and I go to the airport, of course. I get off the plane. Who's there? Leo Fong and Ron Marchini. They pick up my suitcases. They pick up my suitcases. And don't leave my side till I get to the hotel.
First, then write it down.
Sir?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm just talking about the courtesy of them guys not even knowing me and taking care of me like they did. And I'll never forget it. Cynthia won her first grand championship, Cynthia Rothrock, with her hook swords. And I took a third place with John Frenay. Do you remember John Frenay?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, he was a great competitor from Canada, but like I tell people, I've got more third places than anybody in the universe. You know,
well,
if I may,
I'll share just a brief story that Leo shared with me. This was something that happened to Leo and that he said changed his life. And when he shared the story with me, it had a likewise effect on my life. It changed my life. He was good friends with Bruce and they trained regularly together, but Leo was also at that time training with he was with T.Y. Wong, training in Silam Kung Fu. He was training with Lo Bun in Choi Le Phut. He was training with a Taekwondo instructor. He was training in Jiu-Jitsu. He was still boxing. He was boxing regularly, sparring
then,
with the Sacramento State Boxing Team.
Ron Marchini was teaching Rebel Kai, the full contact.
Right, so he was
Japanese
so Leo
karate.
Was,
yeah, I remember.
Exactly. So one night, Leo and Bruce were hanging out, and they were training together, working out. And then Bruce said to Leo, "Hey, Leo, why are you running around town training with all these other guys?" And Leo said, "Well, I'm looking for the ultimate. You know, I'm looking for the ultimate."
He's talking to Bruce Lee, right? He's talking to Bruce Lee.
Exactly. And so what Bruce did next, he said, changed his life. Bruce reached across to him, tapped him on the chest, and he said, "Hey, man, the ultimate is inside of you." Now, Bruce went on to talk about how, you know, you take your boxing skills and you take the jiu-jitsu you do and you use your Korean karate kicks. That's where it's at. And basically, Bruce was describing mixed martial arts as we know it today.
Cool.
But what Leo said really impacted him was because in the Bible it says the kingdom of God is within, Leo was a minister of the Methodist Church. And this statement that Bruce said to him reminded him of that ultimate truth. God is in you. God wants the best of you to come out. Don't look for someone else to bring what is the best in you out. Bring it out yourself. So that was a life-changing moment for Leo, and likewise, when he shared it with me, it had that same impact.
Well, you know what the power is? The power is after 40, 50, 60 years, the power of Bruce Lee telling the story to Brother Leo, and Leo telling it to you, and you telling it to me. That's power. That's the power. You know, and God bless you for sharing that, Adam. Now, Jim, what do you think about that? I hang around with some cool people, don't I?
Yeah, you do. I've been enjoying it.
Well, you know what? Wolverine.
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I had you on mute. I was in the grappling pit.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Now, you're working on a movie called The Coward, and it's a bully movie, but it's not like other bully movies because of the plot, but because, I'm going to say this, you've got an incredible crew. And if I forget somebody, please jab slap me, okay? Captain Sewell, Rob Buckland, you got Ron George, Ronald George, Romel Gargoles, AJ Perry, Dan Severn, Ernest Catman Miller, you've got Michael D. Pasquale, AJ Perry, you've got who else? Oh yeah, Andy Watford, right?
No, not
Wait
Andy Watford.
I made a mistake.
He might audition, but I don't think he made the cut. But we do have America's Got Talent, Alex Piles and Holly Piles.
Oh yeah, your daughter.
And Audrey Warwick.
Let's go back to Coward. Wolverine. We'll go back to Coward in a minute. Tell me something about NASCAR competition. Now, you've been out all year, and that man named Andy Wofford is kind of, I guess, taking their place because you used to beat him regularly. Now, are you going to...
Oh, no. Andy's not taking my place. Andy didn't compete in my division. And Andy, Professor, I don't want to seem like braggadocious, but I am the student of Grandmaster Joe Lewis and Professor Gary Lee and O-Sensei Dewey Earwood. I win my divisions, and then
Wolverine,
I take my place. And with the virus,
Wolverine,
it's been shut down anyway.
Wolverine, I'm going to talk over you. You know what people are saying? They're saying you disappeared. They don't know about the movie. You disappeared because you want to deal with all the competition. So what do you say? What do you say to those people that say Wolverine's not going to come back? He's not going to be as strong as he was.
I say I'm right on Facebook. If they call me out, the Wolverine will come out, and then they'll just have another bad day. I won, but I won every single one of my divisions for the past 4 years and didn't falter. So, you know, I made a lot of frenemies, you know, people that I started watching the sidelines when I'd get to the competition, the Andy Wofford and different people. Hey, man, how you doing? And then, you know, gosh, why did that guy show up today? So, I don't think they're looking for me. I think they're glad that I'm not there. But they've been canceled this year anyway because of COVID.
Wolverine,
so
I don't mean to fire
been
you
doing
up.
Nothing but practicing.
I do mean to fire you up. I'll be honest. I want to fire you up. I want you to be the baddest person in concert, weapons, musical, creative, in fighting, to come back fighting that you ever was, because you are in the image of Joe and myself. I'm very lucky. But here's the thing. You are the best at what you do. And I'm not just saying that because you're in my blood. You are the best at what you do. And I do mean to fire you up because I never want you to lose the edge. I want you to push the envelope. Adam, do you understand that, what I'm doing with Dean?
No, absolutely.
And Jim, I know you understand because I've done the same.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. But Dean is special, guys. I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because it takes a hard fanatic to do what Dean does, to go out in front of hundreds and thousands of people and perform. I mean, I was lucky. I got to do Astroworld and Six Flags for 35 years. And I know what it's like to put in front of thousands of people. It's hard. And to be the best at it, it's very hard. So, Dean, I'm not talking to you. I'm trying to fire you up. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what you did the whole time I competed. That's why everybody took a beating like you did. That's why they can't stand to see me coming, because you had me fired up at all the competition.
I love Andy Wofford. Listen to me. I love Andy Wofford, but seriously, he thinks he's a threat to you. And
I hate to bust Andy Wofford's bubble, but I'll set Andy Wofford's tackle down any day of the week.
Wolverine, people love us because you know what? I had 92 emails a couple of shows ago. Adam, do you realize that? That's so cool. Have you ever had that many emails before? 92. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's awesome.
But people love the Wolverine hollering at me. So, Wolverine, you keep hollering at me, okay?
And you know, the way I look at it is, you know, when you're a martial artist and you step out on that deck, you should represent martial arts in every facet of martial arts. When I step out onto the competition floor, and I'm not only, you know, I'm not only representing myself, but representing Grandmaster Joe Louis, you, and Sensei Earwood, and that's why I take it so personal, and that's why I hit that floor in the best shape I can be in. That's why I keep my body honed in and my skills sharp all the time. I, even while I'm remodeling and doing the movie, have continued to practice. So if they get too crazy, I'll make a guest appearance at a tournament.
Okay, Gene, you're an animal. We know you're an animal. So, but listen, speaking of animals, I've got a very special person on the line, Dr. Roger Lee. He spent the last few months on the front line dealing with this terrible pandemic, and he's one of the co-creators and inventors of the hologram experiment, which we're going to introduce to the portals for the history generals. Dr. Lee?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
The hologram and the vision, and then I'll take it from there. Go ahead, sir. Dr. Richard Lee, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir. My partner, Mr. Richard Shanahan, and I continue to be excited about SetVR. Self-defense training in virtual reality as a platform whereby you can practice your skills in self-defense, whatever, wherever you want. The program is compact and portable. You can take it anywhere when you travel. You can even practice it during a pandemic and practice social distancing while you're practicing your skills in martial arts or self-defense. With the Oculus Quest or the Oculus Rift headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront you and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The important goal of SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize a threat or an attack that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. To practice and improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements, to avoid and to place you in a position of an advantage so you can neutralize your threat or attack as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, to develop muscle memory, and subsequently to develop what's called a reflex response to a threat, to neutralize without hesitation. We've updated our program with kicking and punching attacks, and also with knife attacks. We also further updated our program in stretching, programs in stretching, meditation, and we also have incorporated a personal instructor in yoga, whereby the instructor will go through exercises with you in yoga. We also plan in the future to have a program whereby you can have random virtual matches with other opponents, or you can have matches of your own choosing. For example, Professor Gary Lee can have a match with AJ or with the Wolverine or with Mr. Jesse Bowen. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be able to be a future platform for the history portal. So with that being said, Professor Gary Lee, can you speak to us about the history portal?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Lee. It's such an honor to talk to you. And, you know, Adam, I'm excited about sharing this with you because I remember talking to you about this 20, 25 years ago. Okay, here we go. You guys got to go into my mindset, please. Imagine you go into a village, and this village is storefront of various things, swords, vitamins, shirts, whatever. But you can go in there and purchase something if you want to. But most importantly, you're going there and getting knowledge. You're finding out who is Chuck Norris, who is Jigoro Kano, who is Chunubi, who is Funakoshi, whatever. What is Taekwondo? Oh, you know, who's the Wolverine? It doesn't matter. You'll be educated. You'll get more and more education as you go into every store. Eventually, you'll walk out into from the village, and it'll be an Okinawa-type village, into the forest. And there'll be waterfalls and tigers and cranes and all kinds of cool stuff. And you're getting smarter. As you go along, you get more questions, and you're getting smarter, smarter, smarter. But the hologram appears, and you have to defeat it. And you do. And then you think, it's cool. I'm cool. But now Mako appears at him, and he goes, okay, Adam, are you educated? And you go, yes. And you think you are. You think you've answered all the questions. And Mako, look at you. Remember Mako? He was Japanese. Yeah, he was my sword instructor for many years. Anyway, Mako says, he's gone now, but we're still going to use his image. Mako goes, he says, okay, Adam, are you educated? And you go, yes. And Mako looks at you and says, Adam, I'm sorry, you have to go back. So you have to go back and get more educated and learn more about sport karate. Who is J. Pat Burleson? Who is Chuck Norris? Who is whatever? Who is Gene LaBelle? You get educated. You get smarter. This time you go back from the village and the forest. The hologram appears again, but this time it's a samurai. It's got a katana. It's got a wakizashi. It's got a santo. And you have to defeat it with Okinawa kabuto weaponry, sai, nunchuk, tampa, whatever. You're getting educated. You do it. You say, it's cool. Mako appears. He says, okay, Adam James, are you educated? This time you are. This time Mako takes your hand and walks you through a gate, and there are the portals. Now we're going to pick Rick Wigginton, rest in peace. Jim Harrison, rest in peace. Alan Steen, Mike Stone, Jerry Smith to be the start. And you'll be able to walk into this portal, Adam, and you'll learn the history of Mr. Steen from point A when he's a white belt under Junior Ri to became one of the largest or best coaches around America that taught everybody from Pat Worley to whoever, you know. You'll learn.
Yeah, that sounds really great. I have to give it up for Dr. Lee. I think that's a terrific idea. My son is currently enrolled in a school called Full Sail University. That's down where Dean is. That's actually not exactly where Dean is. Full Sail's in Winter Park, Florida, but not too far. And Winter Park, Florida, Full Sail University has an amazing video game design program. And so my son is studying for his bachelor's degree in video game design. And I think that's another example of the opportunities for the future with martial arts, that
you know,
there's going to be technology.
3 years ago when I talked to you
about
this?
Thank you. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, isn't it cool to talk to Dr. Lee and Rick Shanahan to bring it together and bring to fruition over the history and the history of America sport karate? I think it's so cool. So, Dr. Lee, thank you so much for your time and your effort. And by the way, I want to say this publicly. Thank you for what you do for America, working on the front lines in the hospitals. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you.
Well, I look forward to seeing you in Greenville. And by the way, let me talk a little bit about that. We're going to be honoring Sam Chapman in Greenville, South Carolina, November 6th and 7th, and honoring the Marines, because Sam was a Marine sergeant. Hurrah.
Hurrah.
Here we go, Dean. And we're going to have a show and a summit. Now, some of the people from the summit are incredible. I've got Lawrence Arthur, Jesse Bowen, Chuck Merriman, Joe Corley, Arthur Heller, Vicky Morrow. I mean, I've got performers from Dean Piles, Golly Bum. Vicky Morrow's going to, I'll make her do, she's in Ducata. I even got Andy Wofford, Dean's friend, coming to perform. Bruce Howe. Randy McFarland, a crew of people putting on a show. Greg Suther is bringing the color guard, and my friend Rebecca Rogers is setting up a national anthem sung by a beautiful young person. We're going to have a great time in Greenville, South Carolina, November 6th and 7th at the Living Legends Roast of Sam Chapman and Summit. So for more information, you can call me directly at 713 1-800-273-0476. Or you can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com and you can see a little bit about the museum and the work that we've done for 23 years. Now, Wolverine, listen to me. Wolverine?
Yeah.
Are you going to do your sword and bow kata that you've done at the Legends for a couple of years now that makes everybody crazy?
I don't know. I don't know what I want to do yet. I like to keep that a secret and keep everybody guessing. But since you mentioned Andy Watford again and Bruce House is my student. And just to get the record straight, I don't know who would say that me and Andy are close, because when we compete against Andy, Wolverine takes first place, Bruce House takes second place, and Andy Watford gets the third place. So I'm just throwing that out there, and that's not a lie. That's confirmed. We can prove it.
Think I got him fired up?
Yeah, you did get him fired.
And I don't want to be mad
Jim, let me ask you. You've seen the Wolverine in action. You've seen him perform at Legends of Kata Wars. What do you think about him?
You know what? Every time I see him, he's so excited that his accent comes out more. So that's I love to hear him speaking in that accent.
Oh, I love to hear him talk.
Thank you, sir.
I'm talking about his performance. I mean, remember how everybody stood up? I mean, he blew everybody away. I mean, he's going to do a haka. He's going to do a haka in South Carolina. You remember the haka he did for me at the Legends?
Yeah, of course. He's a badass, and everybody knows that. I mean, it's when we tell him that stuff, get them all hyped
Dean, tell people what a haka is.
Thank you, guys. Professor likes to stress me out. I'll be up training all night now because I'll be like, man, I must be slipping. A haka means fiery words. It's to show respect to someone, and or it's also to chase off and to intimidate your competitors. I have been known to even bust out a little bit of a haka right during competition, right before I would go on and just, kind of point at my people just to try to get it going and get things going a little crazy. Especially if I catch them talking smack on Facebook and stuff. I did the Ric Flair woo to a couple guys until they just quit competing all that year altogether because they was talking about beating me. So I would always come into the competition so hyped up and just keep wooing them and going, man, we're getting ready to start. Woo, real loud, and they finally got so stressed out. They were just like, you know what, I can't deal with this guy. I'm going to take a break. So,
hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Adam.
Yes.
Have you seen the haka in Hawaii? I don't know, it's from New Zealand, but Hawaii really made it well known. Did you get to see any hakas in Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. In fact, the University of Hawaii football team started doing it before every game as part of their warm-ups. So they would look at the other team, and they would line up, and they would do it. And most of the other teams actually would stand there and watch because it's kind of cool.
Well, Dean does it every year at the Legends, and I'm so proud of him. What he does, this is so cool, Adam. He'll grab people like Daryl Stewart or Billy Smith, people who are pure Texans, who think we're crazy anyway, right? But he'll get them and put them in a room and work with them. And they'll come out and they'll look. They may not make the faces that go along with haka, but they do a damn good job. It's really cool.
That is, that is fantastic.
I make ugly faces that go along with it, I don't have long to train them. But also, Philip Colonel Torres gets in on the action and is in the haka.
Yes,
also.
He did. By the way, Colonel Torres, if you're listening, we love you. We appreciate you. Who you are. Colonel Torres is one of the head guys of the military budge with Dean and AJ Perry, Danny Lane, Danny McCall, Bonnie Walker, a few others. But God bless you, Colonel Torres. But Adam and Jim, I got to say thank you so much for being on the show tonight. As you can see, it's kind of crazy when the Wolverine and I get together. But we're, let me say this. I'm so proud of Dean Pyle, better known as the Wolverine. Every time he performs, he makes me have goosebumps because he reminds me of Joe, but yet he reminds me of me. Because, Adam, you remember I was a radical karate black belt, okay? And I just did things a little bit different. But I want to plug something also. Back in the day, Adam, you remember when we put together the bios of everybody for World Black Belt?
Sure, yeah.
That was yep. That was incredible because I believe I took that and we went on. I went on to remember Dana Stamos and USA JoJo? I did the bios for her too, but that was
yeah.
Incredible. Still putting all those bios of everybody. In. I mean,
yep.
You were around a lot of characters back in that day. Who impressed you the most for coming in the office? Back in the day when we worked for World Black Belt, who are some of the most impressive besides Chuck or whoever, you know?
Well, I want to take a moment, speaking of characters and speaking of people who are rebels and people who aren't afraid to push the envelope and do something that other people might find controversial, I want to take a moment to give a shout-out to Bernie Krasny, Pops. You know, he is.
Yes.
He hasn't been feeling
he's
real well lately, but
weapon.
He is,
yes.
Of course, one of the great martial artists and one of the great leaders of the martial arts community. And so I
yes.
Encourage everybody to take a moment and think positive thoughts for Bernie.
Well, you know, Adam,
sure.
You know he
sure.
Changed my life. He really did. I was
yeah.
A ceremonial creator for 12 years with Alvin Prouder,
yep.
Butch Tugasol and Michelle, and golly, Bob Drew Christian, and I can go on Leo Creer, Ray Wizard. There was a bunch of us. But Pops
yep.
Took care of me from point A to point B. I'm talking about taxi, hotel, airfare, food, anything I needed from point A to point B when I was going to fight, Pops took care of me.
Yep.
So, yes.
He's a good man.
Prayers go to Pops, Bernie Krasny. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned him because I talked to Jamie the other day, you know, his son. And he said
yeah.
He wasn't doing real good. So let's think about Pops. Thank you for mentioning him. Because he is one of the old guys, without a doubt. You know, I remember he used to trade with Chuck a long time ago, didn't he?
Did he what? What was the question?
Didn't he train with Chuck a long, long time ago?
North?
Him and Pat Johnson, trained with a lot of those guys.
Yeah, well
yeah.
Bernie has a black belt from the Chuck Norris organization, but he
oh,
and
okay.
Chuck are not in the best of connection now. But that's okay. That's part of our journey as martial artists. You know, sometimes there are
yeah.
People who become frenemies, as Dean was saying earlier.
Look, Adam,
all you can do is go out there and
Adam,
do your best.
Adam,
yep.
Adam, you know what my problem is? I was around those guys when I was 14, so, you know,
yeah.
That's my problem. I can't let go of when I was young, you know.
Right.
And
I hear you. In your eyes are always going to be those figures, but we're all
yeah,
human.
When
you
I
know,
talk,
and
when I talk to a Roy Kirvin or a Rob Marchini or, a, you know, whoever, Gene LaBelle or whoever, I get
yep.
Goosebumps. I can't help it. I do, you know.
I hear you, brother.
I know you do. And I don't want you to forget what I said tonight. I really appreciate you because I'll be honest with you. I was gruff when I started talking on the phone 25 years ago. I you know, I didn't have manners. I was, Dean, I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. I didn't have.
Well,
I mean, Adam,
I will say this, Gary.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In fairness, you've always been, in fairness, you've always been a class act, actually. You're a martial artist. You know, a martial artist, it's what makes martial arts great, is it's not just a physical practice. It's a mental and spiritual practice. And you already had that demeanor about you. You've just polished it and refined it over the last few years. And you're very kind to give me any recognition for that. But honestly, you deserve all the credit. Gary, you're a class act, you're a gentleman, and you worked your ass off to put this organization in the place that it's at. You deserve all the credit, man.
Well, thank you.
I'll have to second that, even though he does fire me up. But you know what? It does do good at competition, and
And, you know, there a couple years ago at the Battle of Atlanta, when Professor and I both received the Fraternal Warrior Award,
very
I was lucky enough to have him, Bill Wallace, Michael DePasquale, Joe Corley, and Jeff Smith at ringside when I won my division, and I got to not only bow into the ring, but I actually got to turn and bow into my instructor as I went out and made my presentation. And I mean, I won the division, but it didn't make me a lot of fans because there was a lot of heavy hitters when you're competing. And, you know, you're fortunate enough to have those kind of people come down to ringside to cheer you on. You know, I couldn't imagine what it would – it kind of gave me an edge, but, you know, it also put a lot of pressure on me because I didn't want to mess up in front of all those guys. So you're exactly right in what you said about Professor. He really makes you push that envelope and set it forward and – yeah, that was an awesome time.
Adam, you're going to enjoy this. I was interviewed 3 days ago from a magazine in New York City, right? And they asked the question that a lot of people ask. They go, "What motivates you, Gary Lee? What motivates you?" And it was a reporter from New York City, and you know, he was just asking the basic question. And I tell everybody the same question or the same answer. For the past years, I can't remember ever changing it. But here's the answer. What motivates me? I still remember living in a hut in Hawaii and walking to the ocean. And I could see America, Adam. You know, you remember me saying that to you 20 years ago? I remember that's the truth. I mean, I believe in my heart that I still see Hawaii. I mean, I miss Hawaii every day. I know you do too, because you've been adopted. You're like Sid Campbell was and Ted Tabura. You were adopted by the Hawaiians, and many people are really adopted. So you understand what I say by looking over the ocean and seeing America. I mean, that's what keeps me humble. It really does motivate me, though. And, I know you understand because you're from Hawaii and you understand the spirit and the aloha and people.
Yeah.
You know, people.
Well, thank
don't
you. Yeah. And to give Hawaii a moment of recognition, I mean, Hawaii is in many ways was the launching point for martial arts coming to America. You know, we were talking about how America is better because of martial arts and martial arts is better because of America. Well, Hawaii was kind of that funnel point where everything came in and came through. And some of the greatest martial artists that I've ever known were guys from Hawaii. I mean, Wally J, very wonderful
John
person,
Mike.
As well as a great martial artist. And my dear friend, Bill Ryusaki, who passed away not too long ago. Again, just
Bill.
A pure heart, a man of true aloha. And at the same time, one ass-kicking guy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yes, but let me share this with you. I walked up to Joe, Mr. Corley at the Battle of Atlanta. Dean, I think I told you this. And John and I did. John Natividad, great fighter under Chuck Norris years ago. Anyway, we walked up to Mr. Corley and Jeff Smith, and we said, "Can we do something special? If you know, can we please dedicate the Joe Louis Eternal Award to all the Hawaiians that never got to come to the mainland?" And you know what Joe and Jeff said? They said yes. So, John and I received the Eternal Award, and then Joe stood between me and John and I dedicated those two awards to all the Hawaiians that never could make it. And you know, there's a lot of Hawaiians that were badasses that didn't make it over to the mainland. You know, because you trained with them.
Absolutely.
But for Joe and Jeff and Bill to allow it to happen. And Dean, did I tell you that I did that?
Yeah, I was there.
I
had to run down and compete, but I was there. I had to, because I was competing that day, so I think I was the only one. Yeah, I was the only one receiving that award that day that was competing also. So
yes, well,
I'll share
let
a funny story
Joe
real quick.
A little bit. Go ahead.
I got a funny story real quick I just got to share because it's very appropriate for this conversation. So I'd heard this story about a bunch of guys from Hawaii. They'd gone to the mainland. They were a bunch of judo guys, and they were doing some stops in various places, and one of them was Chicago, and they did a radio show before they were going to go train with the school there. And during the radio show, they were talking all about Hawaii, how awesome Hawaii is, how Hawaii was basically like an extra island from Japan, you know, and just saying how Hawaii people were so amazing. And one of the ladies who was in the judo class there in Chicago, Japanese-American lady, she was standing there listening. And then towards the end of the radio interview, she just kind of leaned forward. She said, "Enough talk. Let's train." And then they all went out there in the dojo, and she was kicking everyone's ass. So it's one of those things that I love to say is, you know, wherever we think we're from, wherever we think is so great, whoever it was we think was so great, it still comes back to us as an individual, as a person. We got to train. We got to do what we got to do in order to get better. Regardless of who we knew at one point in our lives or who we trained with or where we trained, it really doesn't matter. It's all about you.
Well, I'm a lucky Hawaii boy, honestly. That's what I feel. And even though I'm 66 now and I survived the stroke last year, I still feel I'm a Hawaii boy. I mean, my heart's there. And talking to you tonight has really been a joy because it brings the aloha to me. I love you, Jim Butcher. You know, you're my black belt, so you're
love
the
you.
Best. Yeah. And Dean, you know how I feel about you. So I'm
going to
push the envelope. I'm going to push the envelope with you till you get back and you kick somebody's butt, okay?
Even though I'm going to have to go take a Valium and about 8 sleeping pills, but yeah, I know.
Well, pet your dog, give your girlfriend a hug, and get ready for Greenville because Andy Wofford's going to be there. Okay.
I don't know who you. I don't know who you're even talking about.
I'm just kidding. You know I am. So, Dean, Jim Butcher, and Adam James. Thank you so much for tonight. It's been a very, very special show. But like I said, one more story. The first one's about Leo Fong. Okay, Adam, you ready?
Yes.
I used to work in Modesto, California. It was about 50 miles from Stockton, right? I worked at Kaufman's Menswear. It was a high-priced clothing store. And I found out about Leo Fong and Ron Marchini. And I heard about Rubikai, about the full-contact Japanese karate. I didn't know Leo or Ron Marchini at all, but I just heard about both of them, right? So I hitchhiked from Modesto to Stockton on a Sunday afternoon. I got there about 2:00. Well, of course they weren't open. And I stood in front of the dojo for about 4 hours, thinking they would come and open on a Sunday afternoon. I told that to Ron and Leo one day, and they laughed because, you know, they're just good people, but that's a true story. And I you know, I did it. I did it because I wanted to say someday to Leo and Ron, which I did, that I did that. I hitchhiked from Modesto to Stockton just so I could say I stood in front of Leo Fong and Ron Martini School in Stockton, California. Isn't that cool? You know,
very.
I like Leo Fong a lot. Make sure next time you talk to him, you tell him I said hello. You know what he did? When I first opened the museum, he sent me all of his movie posters and a bunch of scripts from his movie, autographed them, and he was so cool. So God bless Leo, and I hope he turns 100. I know he's 93, and he's still strong. I know he's still working out a little bit. I talk to Jeff Jed every now and then. I know he works out with him. But God bless him, Adam, and thank you for being on the show tonight. Okay.
Well, it was an honor. Thank you. Thank you very much, Gary. And Jim and Dean, it was an absolute pleasure to be on the radio show with you gentlemen.
Same to you guys. Awesome.
Yeah. Now, Jim, I want to say thank you for being on the show tonight and sharing some of the banker, the civilian attitude toward martial arts, even though you're a martial artist, even though you're my black belt and you're really good, but you're also a banker. That means you're part of the civilian sector, as we'll say. But you are very, very, very smart, and I appreciate you being on the show tonight. Thank you so much.
Professor, one last thing is, if anybody part of the family has a question, just have them email you, and you know how to reach out to me. And I'm more than happy just to help guide anybody in this time of need. So,
well, thank you, Jim. Now tell my listeners what bank you work for.
Actually, I'd rather not, because I get in trouble when I talk about that.
Okay,
so
don't do that then. Okay. I'll save you for the seminar and the summit in Greenville when you'll be speaking. Okay, but anybody wants to get in contact with Jim and contact me, and I'll put you on the gym. Now, Adam, how would people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you either in private lessons or find out more about?
Absolutely. My organization is called Rainbow Warrior Martial Arts, rainbowwarriormartialarts.com. You can check it out. You can read more about the things that we're doing. Just recently released a new 10-volume book series on martial arts called Mastering Martial Arts. It's designed specifically for teenagers and young adults. It's sold primarily to libraries across the country. But you can learn more about that and all the other things that I do, rainbowwarriormartialarts.com.
Very good. Now, Dr. Lee, I hope you didn't hang up. Are you still there? Dr. Lee?
I think he goes every night right after his segment there.
Okay, well, anybody wants to get in contact with Dr. Lee or Rich Shanahan in the set, BR.app, you can go to there or you can call me. I'll tell you more about it. Now, Dean, before you go, I got to tell you one of my best Joe Louis stories. I know you got 100, but I'm going to tell my best one, one of my best, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I don't know what year it was, Savannah, Georgia. What year was Super Friends in Savannah? You were there, weren't you?
The what?
Were you there in Savannah, Georgia when the Super Friends happened?
Yes.
Okay, what year was it?
I can't remember what year.
Okay, well, okay, I can't remember either.
Was
anyway,
it was 96?
Anyway, Joe was there. Listen, Joe was there, and he had a booth and everything. And Glenn Keeney was introducing, and Mike Anderson from, you know, the old Top 10 days was introducing his equipment. And there were leather on top, and there were bottom, and they were introducing the new Top 10 equipment. And Joe was there, and him and Bill, Mr. Wallace, was ragging each other in love. You know how they go at each other, right?
Right.
And Glenn Keeney says, I had a pretty good Johnson back kicking today. And Bill goes, no, I did. Then Joe says, bullshit, I did. And they started, you know, going at each other. And Glenn Keeney runs the PKC, and was a great fighter. He's called the Fox. So anyway, this is funny. Now, Mike Anderson really acted it on, and then this is great. Glenn Keeney takes off his right shoe and puts on a right foot of the Top 10 gear. And, you know, he grabs me and he goes, stand there. And he puts me against the wall and he does a jumpspin back kick and just barely touches my nose. Just barely. It was perfect. I said, this is cool. So I started to walk away. Now, all this time, Bill, Mr. Wallace, is ragging Joe, okay? You know how they went at each other, right? In love.
Oh, yeah.
Just teasing each other a lot. So finally, just says, whatever, blankety blank blank. Give me a shoe. So he grabs a shoe from Mike Anderson, takes off his left foot, puts on his left foot. And then as I walk away, Mr. Lewis grabs me and says, no, I need you. Puts me up against the wall. And I go, oh, God, he's going to kick me. I know he's going to kick me. And if I had the key, I'd embrace myself. It would have hurt. He kicked me so hard in the chest, knocked me down. But I key-eyed really loud, right? He walks over. He puts his hand out, pulls me up. He goes, says, good take. That's what he says, good take. And if I hadn't done ki, Joe Louis would have knocked me into Pluto. I mean, that's how hard it was.
Oh, Yeah, I know how that
better,
was. Yeah.
It gets better. Listen, it gets better. I'm doing Black Belt TV commercials. Okay? I got Garrett with me. Garrett is 7 years old, Adam. Okay? You hear me? He's 7 years old. And I didn't want to take him to the commercial, but I didn't want to take him back to the hotel room. And Joe saw the stress, and he goes, he can stay with me. I said, Mr. Lewis, he's only seven. It's cool. I'll take him up to the room. And he says, no, he can stay with me. So who am I to argue with Joe Lewis, right? So I leave Garrett with Joe. I go. I'm gone about 2 hours, Adam. I'm gone a long time. I come back. Who's sitting on Mr. Lewis's knee? At 7 years old, and Mr. Lewis is playing with him, Dean, playing with my son. And I'm just trying to say that I saw two Joe Lewis. I saw the badass Joe Lewis that kicked me against the wall. And then I saw the good old country boy, North Carolina Joe Lewis. So that's one of my best stories ever about Joe. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, you knew both. You knew both.
Oh, yeah.
Adam, did you ever get to meet Joe?
Yes, I did. I actually met him through Bob with part of one of the World Black Belt events. And a tremendous gentleman, a great martial artist and a great person. You know, and Joe is sadly missed. You know, he had a huge impact on martial arts. You know, earlier we were talking about
how... You know how tough he was, right?
You know, earlier we were talking about how martial arts made America great and America made martial arts great. Well, Joe Lewis trained in karate in Okinawa and then came back to America and entered a tournament where he had never been given a belt ranking in Okinawa. And they told him, oh, you have to be a black belt to compete. He said, okay, put me down as a black belt. And he went and he won the whole tournament. You know, that's an example of what kind of man he is.
You hear that, you hear that, Wolverine?
Yeah.
You're
oh, I know. I know.
Yeah, I know. Hey, guys, I love every one of you guys. I really do. Jim Butcher, Adam James, Dean Piles, and Dr. Lee, even though you had to leave. I appreciate you guys so much. And
likewise,
to
Gary,
the
you're
show.
Tremendous. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. You
yes,
go to Google, guys, and type in AMAA Radio, and it'll be up immediately. And thank you, Uncle Bowen, for all you do and supporting the museum and putting up with me for 6 years. And thank you, everybody, for being on the show. You know, being in your living room and listening to us talk and ramble and me holler at the Wolverine, who I love deeply. So AJ Perry will be back next week with the Wolverine, and we'll be making fun of, you know, Taekwondo and Taekwondo and Kung Fu and Karate and everything else in love. So as we always say every week, much, much mahalo. And aloha. Good night, everybody.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.